As the story of disappeared Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi continues to unfold, we now turn to the perils faced by journalists all around the world, especially women. There was Kim Wall, age 30, a freelance journalist, murdered while reporting aboard a submarine off the coast of Denmark and then dismembered. Daphne Caruana Galizia, age 53, investigative reporter and anti-corruption blogger in Malta, murdered outside her home by a car bomb. Victoria Marinova, age 30, investigative television journalist in Bulgaria, raped and murdered by blows to the head and suffocation. Each of these murders took place over the last 2 years in Europe, away from major conflict zones. These journalists were not caught in crossfire, they were targeted, losing their lives at least in part for being journalists or for being women in high-profile jobs. 2018 is on track to be a more deadly year than last year. So far, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists, 62 journalists have been killed. Men make up the majority of that number, but some say that doesn't reflect the atmosphere of danger for many women in this line of work.
It used to be the case in hostile environments that if you wore the words press on your vest, that would be some kind of protection. It would afford you protection. Now it seems that having that kind of badge on your chest actually makes you a target.
That's Jody Ginsburg. She's the chief executive officer of Index on Censorship, a freedom of expression nonprofit. I asked her about Kim Wall, Daphne Caruana Galizia, and Victoria Marinova and the work that they were doing.
So in the case of both Victoria and Daphne, they're both investigative journalists. We don't know yet whether Victoria was targeted specifically for her investigative work, investigation into corruption. We know that Daphne was the target of repeated threats for her work investigating corruption at the highest levels of government and business in Malta. She was killed a year ago yesterday. And she was targeted in a number of ways, including through legal threats and others, repeated criticism of her work. In the case of Kim, she was murdered whilst doing a report into a submarine and the inventor of the submarine and killed while on board that submarine.
What are some of the unique challenges and dangers that women journalists face? Do we understand why we're seeing journalists, female journalists, being targeted in general?
So what I would say is it's not clear that female journalists are targeted disproportionately because they're journalists. I think what we've got to look at here is the way in which women are targeted disproportionately with threats of abuse, threats of rape, harassment, doxing and the like across the board, not just in journalism. Now, the thing about journalism is that women in journalism tend to be relatively well known. They're high profile journalists. I am a journalist myself. We need to be in the public eye. We need to be known to people so that they feel that they can approach us with stories. Our bylines are on newspapers. Our pictures are known to people if we're broadcasters or on television. So people are aware of who those women are. And whether they target them because they're journalists or because they're women is less clear. I think what is clear is that people are increasingly feeling able to have a go at journalists, in part because of the environment that's been created by politicians and others in criticizing journalists publicly, and that the public in general, and largely men, feel that they are able in particular to target women with really nasty threats. And we are certainly seeing that on the rise.
Tell us a little bit about the role here of social media in particular.
Sure. So obviously in the past, it was more challenging to contact journalists. You had to write a letter or even call a journalist. Now it's much easier to target people in general. All of us put our profiles often out there in the public. So it's easier for people to get in touch with us. They don't need to know our phone number. They don't need to know the address, our home address or the address of the newspaper. They can contact us almost directly. What that's done, on the one hand, I think the internet has been a great thing for journalism and democracy in general. It's enabled those who didn't have a voice previously to voice their opinions, their concerns, their criticism. But also what it's allowed people to do is feel that they can publicly berate, criticize, and in some cases abuse and harass people with whom they disagree. I think it's less clear how far these abusive messages online translate into any real intention to commit violence. We heard about the three women that you mentioned, but it's unclear how far the people who are sitting in their homes feeling that it's fine to abuse women online actually have any intention of carrying that out. Nevertheless, it doesn't stop it having an impact. It's easy, I think, for people to say, oh, just suck it up, ignore it. But that ignores what it is like to be on the receiving end of hundreds, thousands of messages threatening you and your families. And I think that's something that we don't often talk about. It's not just that some of these threats, real or not, to women are not just about saying, I'm going to attack you, I wish you would be raped, and so on. It's also that often people's families are threatened. And that gives anybody, male or female, I think, great pause about how far they want to carry on.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the three cases we're talking about here all happened in Europe. And I'm wondering if that tells us anything about what the environment is like for journalists there.
I think it does. I think one of the things that we have noticed most in our monitoring of media freedom in Europe in recent years at Index on Censorship is the way in which the environment has changed for journalists generally. And I think in part that's because politicians, those in power, have enabled that environment. We have the President of the United States, but not just the President of the United States, a number of politicians throughout Europe who are openly voicing criticism of the media for anything that they don't like, enemies of the people, fake news. And that creates an environment, I think, in which the profession is devalued and which in which people then feel that journalists are fair game.
Jody Ginsburg of Index on Censorship, a freedom of expression nonprofit, has joined us talking about the dangers to journalists, in particular women. Jody, thanks for being on The Takeaway.
It was my pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.